Recording is on.
All right.
The jungle that will be an independent New Hampshire.
Okay, so I'm already recording. So last night I was at the Tom Woods 2000 party, which had a little bit of secession talk. And I can go through, before people come, I can go through some of the little links and news that I've run into recently. Have you guys noticed that the idea of the term national divorce is kind of being talked about?
Well, I mean, I noticed it because you posted about it so many times. But I don't know if I would have noticed it. I mean, I've certainly heard the term. I haven't noticed necessarily a recent uptick, but maybe there has been. I don't know.
Yeah. So one of the first times, I mean, some of us have used that term, right? Bob Murphy talked about a national divorce, and he wrote that thing, that pamphlet or small book about Texas secession, right? Based off of his Porkfest talk. And then I listened to his podcast about it. And then a Republican lady who is in the U.S. House of Representatives, I guess, is talking about it. She interviewed about that recently, and she did a poll on Twitter. You know, do you think we should have a national divorce? And then,
and then she was assassinated.
No, I think she's still talking about it. And the Democrats try to make fun of her. And then the National Review guy says it's a horrible, poisonously stupid idea.
Oh, that is so disappointing. I used to subscribe to National Review, and I sent them donations back in the 80s when they were about to go out of business or whatever. Well, William F. Buckley and Joseph Sobran, these people were real conservatives. They must have been taken over too, just like the Concord Monitor.
Well, so, and then Michael Malice did a review of that article, which I watched last night, which was pretty good. And people like him and Tom Woods like to refer to those kind of guys as conservative Inc., INC, like they're part of the system. You know, they get paid to be the controlled opposition. And one thing Malice mentioned was it's like all of us that are farther right or more extreme than them aren't allowed to be talking about these things like national divorce. Then there's a couple of articles in American Thinker where people are talking about how it can't be civil and it'll turn into a civil war and another national divorce thing. And then the Spectator says, so you want a national divorce, huh? And then there's a couple other ones. There's one from redstate.com, national divorce. And then I got USA News picking up that lady talking about it, that congresswoman. Then I found a thinking conservative. .com, should America have a national divorce? And I got a Washington Examiner one about national divorce. So if you just search for national divorce, you get tons and tons of articles right now. Many of them are just kind of reprints of other ones. So I'm posting that on all of my places that I can think of. And the whole big list will be at nhexit.org after we're done with this call. So there's a lot of that. I also watched Stephen Axelman posted a few days ago, the Blaze guy, what's his name? He has a TV show that he makes himself. And he talked about a national divorce, and you know, he's
Glenn Beck.
Glenn Beck, yeah. So I watched that one too. So yeah, there was a lot of people that have talked about that term in the last week or two.
I'm curious, what did Beck have to say? I saw the thing, but it was like 50 minutes long and I just didn't have time for it.
Yeah, his main idea is that he hates the idea because he loves the founding documents, right? But he thinks the Democrats are doing it to him. But then he talked to a couple of different people and, you know, interviewed a couple people, and he's basically saying, you know, those of us that aren't insane need to gather together in our own places to not be around the insane people. So I would agree with a lot of what he said, but it's funny. He's much more wringing his hands over the idea. You know, he doesn't want to have a split. Mm. Seems like anybody that likes the founding document should be open to the idea of splitting, right? I mean, if you like the Declaration of Independence, why couldn't your state do a Declaration of Independence? And, you know, so that's what I got from his thing. And a whole lot of people have discussed it. So, yeah, obviously a lot of people, as Malice was pointing out, it's kind of like we already have them thinking about it. They're just thinking about whether they're going to oppose it or the details of it instead of it being unthinkable.
Well, Beck's position, as you describe it, sounds pretty much like the average Bosnian's position in 1990. Like, secession would be terrible. That's a crazy idea. Let's never do this. And then 1991, it's like, oh my gosh, it's being done to us. And then 1992, they're independent, technically. Of course, it went really badly.
Yeah.
And I think it went better with independence than it would have without independence. But man, what a price they had to pay.
Yeah, and with some of the people, they've already chosen to go to places like Texas and Florida and stuff like that, or they're leaving New York, or they're leaving Chicago, or they're leaving California. So some people are already thinking about it or voting with their feet. And it makes sense that we make it even easier to give them real choices to vote with their feet.
Yeah, well, you know, Texas can be handing out visas, but maybe we would not have any restrictions at all. That would be better.
Yeah. The other thing that was fun in the Michael Malice's thing was him pointing out some of the stuff we've talked about where, like, why would you be afraid? Because the National Review guy is saying, you know, Russia or China will take us over. And, and Texas has, like, the same population as Canada. And it's like, why, if Texas was to split, would suddenly it be taken over by China when that's not happening to Canada?
Well, the NATO alliance would have to crumble as well, I think, or something along those lines would have to happen. If the NATO alliance stays intact in the situation, we could be much stronger against China. I don't even worry about Russia much. They have their budget, their defense budget is, what, 14% the size of the U.S. defense budget?
Mm. The other thing that Malice mentioned is, here you say that we'll be so much weaker afterwards. And he says, after the USSR broke up, we still talk about Russia all the time. It's not like they're just puny and nothing and nobody cares about them anymore.
Well, and ultimately Russia declared independence from the Soviet Union, right? And Moscow endorsed Estonia's independence. So,
yeah. You know,
there's Moscow. I'm not disparaging the Russians. I think they are quite serious military force. They're formidable, but they're just not. That's not their whole thing, right? And they're only spending 14%. Like, again, 14% as much as the U.S. So,
mm-hmm. So that was some of the news that I've run into. Was there something you wanted to bring up at the beginning here, Ian, or are you just listening in?
No, I just dropped in to see what was going on.
Looks like you have the only recording going, Russell. I'm not allowed to record while you're recording.
Okay, well, mine should be working then.
So I'll just need a copy. I'll just need a copy from you after this.
Okay, well, that'll work fine. So, I thought, Ian, what we'd do is, until we had people join us, we would just talk the news like Dave's mm-hmm. does sometimes and just go through it. The only other thing that I was wanting to talk about, in case somebody pops in real quick, is part of the reason that I'm involved with NHXit, which I've been kind of pushing since like last November, is that I think we're going to have a split, or the system wants us to be mad at each other. I'm wanting to be a part of this to discuss how can we do this nonviolently, right? That's why I'm involved in this. And what I'm fascinated by is how this pressure will make us all make decisions. Like I was noticing on the Matrix / Telegram chat that you, Dave, and Alu and Marcus from California were all discussing this topic. With because Alu is reacting to the cop brutality. And I'm telling him, you know, this is part of our process. We're all going to, you know, we're going to go through this. If we start putting any pressure on the system, they're going to fight back. And we have to decide how we're going to interact with them.
Yeah, I was thinking it might be useful. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, what are you thinking, Dave?
It might be useful to do exactly what, almost a reenactment of what Don Lewis and the other civil rights activists did. I can't remember if Lewis was part of it or not. As much as he might be considered corrupt as a congressman, he was an incredible civil rights activist, and the people around him were incredible too. And so they had that you've seen those incidents where they were attacked at for sitting at lunch counters. But what's interesting is that this was like they gamed it all out. They role played it first, so they would go and they would sit at a pretend lunch counter and they would have other civil rights activists beat on them. And you see, there's video of that too. And it might be appropriate for us to do something similar, maybe where we schedule beating for ourselves, and we beat, you know, we, some of us consent to be beaten by the others, and we get video of it. And we use that as like a symbol to the rest of the movement, as that's how you react when someone attacks you for being an independence activist.
Well, Ian and I think we're going to vote that we beat Dave. Now, from where I'm coming from, I don't know if we have to do that. You know, the guys in the Bible didn't have to enact beatings in order for them to get beaten later on. You know, I think if you just do stuff, it'll happen.
Well, the thing is, if I'm sorry, go ahead.
I don't think we have to go do it ahead of time.
If we role play it, if nothing else, that will send a message as to what we're about. With people who start thinking, they start worrying about how they're going to shoot back. They start planning how they're going to shoot back and stuff like that. That's something you don't beat by talking against it. You beat it by showing them something better they can do.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm definitely noticing the people, you know, we're attracting people to this movement, and some of them are coming angry and, you know, trying to decide when they need to use violence, right? This is such a normal thing.
You need to use it when a tank is in the street and one of Xi Jinping's people is piloting it. That's when you use it. Or when you got a carjacker, but you don't use it against the government.
Yeah, see, and for me, it's even easier if I don't even use it in those situations. It makes it even less decisions. Yeah,
right. It might be right. There might be better ways to fight China than violence against, you know, defensive violence. But for now, I think we can at least agree that it doesn't work against the government, because all of Erica Chenoweth's data is so convincing. Mm-hmm. It reduces your chances by 50% once your movement goes violent.
Well, I think the three of us here are like the main proponents of this idea so far in this movement. And it's obviously going to come up over and over, which is part of the reason I'm even here. You know, why am I even talking NHXit compared to other things? It's partly because of this. It really puts the pressure on all of us. And it's going to make something happen.
Yeah, we're not going to get through it unscathed. Ian's already non-scathed.
Yeah, exactly.
But like I said, I don't think this would be happening if they hadn't come for Ian.
Yeah, well, see, what's funny is some of us are attracted to this just in general. You know, I like doing this because I can do this non-violently, right? I'm not really asking the government to do this. I'm just wanting to split up the government. And we can support all the people that are trying to have smaller government or more split up government.
Yeah.
But I think this pressure, this issue is bigger than just us in New Hampshire and stuff. It's springing up all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the expectation that it would.
Yeah, so that's the thing is we're seeing people talk about this. Like me at that Tom Woods thing, they might have mentioned New Hampshire once in the mix, you know, within New, you know, talking Texas and stuff like that. But there's people talking there about it, and that's just in general, you know, not specific to us. I also find the New Hampshire thing is so good for it's not one southern state talking about seceding, so it helps it not be the Civil War.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, when I'm talking to people. Yeah. So I was talking to the Liberland guy last night, so he knew about FSP stuff, but he didn't know about NHXit stuff.
The guy from Czechoslovakia? I remember from the Czechlands?
Possibly.
Vizlika, the president of Liberland?
Well, I didn't get his info. He took my info. Mm. So he just put my name down, and I said, just go to NHXit and you'll find us. You know, because I was in a crowd.
tell us more about your experience, Russell. Where were you? What happened exactly?
So we were at the Tom Woods 2000 celebration, which was a big party.
I was wondering if any New Hampshire people were at that thing.
Carla was there. Oh, good. The McGuires were there. If there were any others, I didn't talk to them. So I met, and then one of the guys that did a presentation at our NHXit site at Porkfest from Florida was there. I talked to him and his wife for a while.
Cool. And where was this, Russell?
This is in Orlando at a big convention center hotel place. And it was probably 2,000 people. It was a mass of people.
Yeah, Tom Woods said it was 2,500 people, which is more than the Libertarian Party conventions.
Yeah, they put 2,500 seats, and it got really full. Mm. So it was really big, and it was a lot of fun. And I met some of our kind of people there. So, that was fun. And there was some talk of that, but it was mostly comedic. You know, it wasn't.
Yeah.
So, but there were people bringing up those ideas. And of course, there were the people that we like, the poor people like Michael Bolden and Angela McCardle that are from LA, you know, talking about stuff and
can't let it go.
You almost feel sorry for them because they have to tell their stories of how wonderful it is to come to Orlando, which is pretty normal, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I met people, you know, you meet people from California and the Northeast that are down there. You know, they're texting on the MeWe group saying, do you have to wear masks at this hotel? Like, if we're talking a hotel in Orlando, I don't think you've ever had to wear a mask. So, that's what we did. That was fun. Kat and I were here for that, and that was fun. So I just got another feel for things and stuff like that. The next event that I'm thinking about is the FSP's Liberty Forum.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if anybody wants to do NHXit table with me.
I would if I could go. I have no idea if I can go, but I've also heard that there's from Alu that they're putting together some sort of a panel discussion. Maybe they're going to have like Marcus from California or the Daniel guy from Texas or something like that. I've just kind of heard some rumblings.
Okay. About that. That makes sense.
Yeah.
And that would be good if we did that like we did at Porkfest and be a place where these kinds of discussions are taking place.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So that'll be good.
I can report on something that happened over the last week. Bonnie, my girlfriend, and her friend of hers, Nikki, and Matt Roach, traveled from Keene to the event that happened with the governor and the executive council, where they turned down, with a 4-1 vote, they turned down the $27 million from the federal government for the COVID money, which you might have heard about from this week.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought New Hampshire Independence flyers with them and had a good time handing them out. And they said almost everyone, except for maybe one person, had positive responses to those flyers. And obviously, the people there are likely to have positive responses because, you know, they're pissed at the government. But nonetheless, it seems like everywhere we've been hitting, where there have been protests and that sort of thing, we've had overwhelmingly positive responses to New Hampshire independence. So,
well, especially in the last month, it turned from every state deciding what it wanted to do to the feds mandating or fake mandating things, right? So it's becoming a federal versus state thing, right?
Mm.
And it's, whereas it wasn't like that before, right? You were just, you know, each state was deciding things. But now if you know, Biden's going to say something stupid every month about what we need to do, then it becomes, is it us or them?
Well, it seems like each of these, anytime I hear about a major event of this type, there's an exeter there handing out flyers now. I mean, that's really getting consistent, and I really appreciate that.
So these are the flyers from the Foundation of New Hampshire Independence. They seem to have had an event last night on the 16th that I missed.
Yeah. I think it was yesterday afternoon. Some sort of a board meeting that was happening publicly, and I haven't heard back from Alu as to how it went. Have you heard anything?
No, I haven't heard anything.
Pete informed me. Pete Air indicated there were about 3 dozen people there.
Wow. Great.
Yeah.
He said three dozen people can show up to a social meeting or a board meeting or something, then we can definitely get that many out to the first hearing in Concord. Well, so that's really good.
What would really be helpful is if we can start scheduling events to happen right after these bar get-togethers, because we Free Staters are great at getting together at bars, but they don't actually show up in very large numbers of protests. So if we can start scheduling protests that happen, like, hey, you know, 2 hours after this event started, we're walking over to the such and such, you know, where it's real close, and we're going to do this, and all you got to do is just kind of come with us, and then that would really increase output.
Yeah, especially when the weather's nice, like it, you know, has been, you know, that it, you can just keep doing something. I was wondering if anything came from that meeting, because they've been kind of inactive, and their leadership might be changing around. So did they decide stuff? You know, I was going to ask Neil if he knew anything, but yeah. So what did Pete say? Did they decide anything? Or are they heading
He just sent me a picture and a number. I should probably email him back and find out, get the who, what, where, when, why from him.
Yeah. Well, I'm definitely also noticing there's times that the online activity from New Hampshire people gets real quiet on NHExit. It's when the big events are happening and you guys are together in person, you know, like a big protest at the hospitals or, you know, the stuff that was happening with the state government. I start noticing it get quiet. The fog of war happens. So, and I'll go, why haven't I heard anything from anybody? And then, oh, okay. They were at a place making the governor mad. So, well, and we'll be having some angry recordings from Alu soon, I would guess.
Recordings?
Yeah. Well, you know, just, you know, him taping himself about stuff because he's obviously been really affected by them, you know, mass arresting people at that
like the like podcast and stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Well.
Because obviously they were ready to you know, they were planning to arrest people. You know, they knew this was happening.
They were
going to do this. So, you know,
they had a whole part of the auditorium cordoned off with like a giant plastic curtain. And behind that was like a good third of the auditorium with a bunch of empty chairs and about 30 police officers roaming around. So they were expecting mass arrests. I think 9 was on the light side. They were thinking they were going to be arresting dozens of people.
Yeah, that sounds like they're prepared for 50 people.
Yeah.
Once they start, the more they use their power, the less they have.
Yeah, they had paddy wagons outside, apparently more than one.
Yeah.
So. I mean, just talk about the government fearing the people and that cordon of state police, you know, up and down the aisles. It reminded me of that scene in the original V movie, you know, where they have a guy giving a speech and then they have all these people clapping. But between the guy giving the speech and the people clapping is a squad of it's about to shoot them if they don't clap.
As a side thing, we didn't get a recording of this from last week. So was there any curious or objector people that I missed last week?
There were not.
No, okay. So it was more supporters again. The other thing is I haven't gotten a recording from your Tuesday thing yet, Ian.
I wasn't there, unfortunately. I had it on my calendar. First one I've missed in 10 meetings. I had it on my calendar, and I ended up getting distracted with some housework.
Yeah, I think I recorded that one, and I was just planning. I have to batch upload things, basically, because every time I want to upload a thing, I have to log into 4 different sites, and so I wait until I have a few things stacked up, and then I batch upload them.
Okay.
Yeah. So I only have one video right now. It's just not worth logging into 4 different websites to upload one video.
Okay, yeah, I just wanted to see what the update was and stuff. And obviously lots of outsiders are watching our activity, seeing us moving forward here, which is good. Kind of chugging forward on the amendment process and stuff like that. People I was talking to last night are all interested in the details, you know. Wondering how things are going and stuff like that. And we can make the guys in Texas jealous.
I tell you what, that shouldn't be too hard because you're listening to kinds of numbers and the number of years they've been working on this just to make that small step forward.
Yeah.
It's really astronomical.
One of the hilarious things is I was rewatching the long interview of Mike Sylvia by Marcus in California. You know, they talked for like a whole hour, right?
Yeah, it was really good.
And Marcus could not really wrap his head around how small of districts we have because
it was like a jaw dropper for him. He just kept eyes kept going wide.
Yeah, because he would say it, but then he's thinking it's only 300,000. No, no, no. We're talking 3,300, not 33,000. It's 33 because, and I looked it up again. That where I used to live in California, right? And more than once, somebody from my church was the assembly person for our district. And there's 80 of them in California. So that's 400,000 people. You know, so the smallest representation thing in California, that's why he doesn't, he's not understanding.
Yeah.
You know, not only do we have more of them, but it's a smaller state, right? We have more than 80 and it's a smaller state. So it's not 300,000. It's not 30,000. It's 3,000. It's I don't think he even really ever got that through his head. You're talking Mike doesn't have to be a big time politician to represent 3,000 people and do what he thinks is right in the state house, right? My experience with 2 sets of people from my church that went to this California assembly. The first person I knew that went there was this grandmotherly lady. And they were rich. And she got in there. And after a few months, she almost had a nervous breakdown. from the pressure. You know, to go to Sacramento and experience what they do there is just shocking to normal people. And then later, there was a younger guy who was much more, you know, invigorated and ready to go. And he went there and he was fighting him and scrapping with him. But he said, Russell, you won't believe what happens there. And I believe it. Whatever you tell me, I'll believe. And but Mike doesn't have that, right? There's shenanigans, but not California shenanigans in Concord. It's just not possible. Mm-hmm. You're talking a place. I mean, what's California, 40 times bigger? You know, it's not even the same scale at all. So I think some of them don't realize, you know, in some ways what we're doing in New Hampshire, we're ahead of Texas in some ways or ahead of California. But it's almost like cheating because we have politicians that don't have to be career politicians. Mm. You know, I think what happened.
Not cheating. It's just good strategy.
Well, yeah. I mean, compared to what they're doing, and think if all of these states had maintained the representation that they started with, right? Like when the United States set out its representatives, they wanted it to be not very many people. Right. They just haven't expanded it over the years. So it's gone from thousands to a million or so, right, for each U.S. rep. So it's just so different. So are you going to have one on Tuesday again?
Oh, yeah, I intend to. I mean, something did happen, just I wasn't there.
So who came, Dave, last time?
I'm trying to remember. Mike was there, like Sylvia.
Okay.
I think maybe Steven Axelman was there.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, he's starting to show up at almost all of our things.
And there was a fourth person. I think it was probably Shayna.
Okay, yeah. Shayna's being our super activist on the street.
She really
is. And she's helpful to tell us what the outsiders are seeing, too. You know, how we're being perceived by the outside world.
Yeah, and, she wants to get some cards printed out too, so we can maybe hand out. And we're working on that. She asked me to help her.
Yeah, because we can have cards that have a few of the things. Oh, one of the other things is in the last week, you started pointing nhexit.com to my list of links, which of course we can change later if we need to.
Yeah, that was her idea. Also, yeah. She had suggested that she was big on the whole nhexit.com URL, and she likes your list of links so that, you know, when people go there, they can immediately see not only a summary of what we're doing, but a lot of different places they can go to talk about it without signing up for some new service.
Yeah, and then, of course, you know, I'm trying to point people to all the different things, like, you know, your nhexit.us, right, Ian? Mm. And what one thing that we haven't had happen that you were talking about is having an email list.
Mm.
Do you think you can do that through that site, or should we do something else?
I have a mail server that is – so. I don't know if you remember Michael Hampton, the creator of Port 411 years ago. He passed away at age 48, sadly. And he was my guy for technical stuff. You know, all my systems admin stuff was him. And tried to, you know, pass the torch to Bob Call, who is the very quiet but very talented technical guy who lives with, he's the partner of Chris Wade, who's one of the big activists in the area. And unfortunately, the baton wasn't fully passed as much as it could have been prior to his demise. And so we're kind of in the process of digging out from that situation. You know, we're still in the potential for having the entire server turned off by its host. So we're in the process of backing up websites and, you know, trying to, you know, bail water out of the sinking ship, plug the holes. But in that system is a mail service that is sort of a self-hosted mail service. We're not relying on like MailChimp or one of these online things that can cut you off. So it would be trivial for me to create another mailing list and do that once I have the, you know, the sure feeling that this thing's not just going to get turned off on me tomorrow. So sure. that can easily be done. And what we've got so far is about 60, actually a little bit more than that, maybe about 65 signatures on the petition. And so that is essentially the beginnings of that email list.
So do you want to keep emails. You want to keep doing that, and we shouldn't do something else?
I mean, by all means, multiple things can be done, but I would say that's the easiest way to create an email list is get people to sign the petition, and then boom, we get their email. So
that petition thing is working just fine and dandy.
It looks like it's actually working better. It used to have an error message when people would submit the petition, and I just tested it because I've got about 5 or 6 manual ones that I collected in person at a recent Freedom Rally here in Keene. And so I'm entering those as we speak, and it's looking like the petition is working a little bit better now. So, yes, it is working.
Okay, cool. All right, so we can just keep – okay, so we should also – is it telling people that they're going to end up on a mailing list?
It doesn't we could explicitly actually point, say that.
Because we could also point people to that as the way to get on the list. And also, I've been wanting to do that list because we could, once you have that list, you can let people have options of do they get email every day, every week, every month, or whatever, right? Because some people, we are starting to have problems of there's so many people spread in so many different places, right? And I'm always surprised at how many people don't know what all is going on.
I'm of the opinion that it's better to ask forgiveness than permission. And, you know, when you give somebody an email field to fill out and they fill it out, then they probably know what they're likely to get.
I'm saying the other way around, like more like for the point of view of, I can point to people, like one of my links can be sign up for our email list, and it's a link to your petition. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, sure.
Because you're right. I mean, anybody that does this, they know what's going to happen.
Yeah, and then any mailing list is going to have the unsubscribe link right at the bottom. So if somebody doesn't like it, they can just boom.
Yeah, because you can get out of it. Okay, I'm signing up right now. Your petition has already been signed using your email address. Okay, so you must already have me in there.
Because
at the very beginning, I was testing it and it wasn't working.
Did you use a different name? Because I don't see.
Well,
you.
See, it says I use the email address already. So I should be one of the first 2 or 3.
Yeah, maybe. Okay, yeah, because it's 11. Only showing down to number 11. So that's probably why.
Yeah, so I was one of the first ones to try. Okay, so well, that's good. And it shows all the people. That's cool. It looks nice. It's got a nice clean look to it.
Yeah, I don't think it's the best looking thing, but it's terrible. So
It's not ugly. and the problem is, I mean, they could attack you next month on a heavier level. You know, we don't know what's going to happen. Sure. I mean, 2 years ago, people were not getting dumped off of, like, Dave, when did you lose your YouTube channel?
It's brushing my teeth.
What? So these things weren't happening that long ago. And now, I mean, the likelihood of us losing stuff is very high. Right. Mm-hmm. But they could just decide, okay, you're done. We almost have to have a spreading of the stuff to just, okay. So that's good. Some people have found that and already signed up, and then,
I've been putting stickers on our flyers too. So when we're going out with flyers now, Alu doesn't have them. So not all the flyers have them, but the New Hampshire Independence flyers that I've got, they have a little nhexit.com. It says sign the petition, for New Hampshire independence, and then the website and the little star logo from the
You mean nhexit.us you're putting on, right?
Sorry, nhexit.us. Okay. So those are slapped right at the top of the image at the top of the New Hampshire independence.
Well, that's
flyer,
good, because then they can get in there, and then, what if we end up with thousands after a while? That might be our best way of communicating in the future. It's possible.
Yeah, that's what happened with the reopen New Hampshire people. Was when things were going crazy last year and they started doing their petition. They got thousands of people in New Hampshire to sign it, and that they parlayed that into a very effective email list that they are using every single
to get people to do stuff.
Hey, your sound changed.
Uh-oh. Excuse me, guys.
I'm back. Sorry. tooth decay called?
Well, you know, I could smell the bad breath over the line, so I feel better already. And if anybody doesn't know, Dave might be the most disinfected person in New Hampshire.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe I'm a little bit too disinfected. I did want to add an RIP for our brother Michael Hampton, a.k.a. Error. I guess we lost a couple of weeks ago.
When he came to New Hampshire, he came to our house first. He slept on our couch. One of our biggest memories is Kat trying to feed him a fruit salad the next morning, and he looked at it like it was poison. He looked at it like, why are you trying to kill me? Where's the meat? So, yeah, that was funny. Yeah, we had Mike Hampton way back then, before he was a biker guy, you know.
So I guess if he was running all that technical stuff, you know, some of that was probably independence related. So he could probably be considered one of the exit activists as well as a liberty activist. And so sad.
Sure.
Yeah, and New Hampshire exit was one of the last things that he did was put that website up for me.
So here it is. God bless him. So you're saying that we need more computer geeks in New Hampshire?
I think we got plenty of them.
We just need them to help you.
There's just none. There's really none of them that I know that can, you know, fill Michael Hampton's shoes. I mean, that guy was amazing. You know?
Yeah.
Anytime I ever needed anything, he jumped on it as soon as he heard from me and got it done like 10 minutes later. I mean, he was absolutely incredible.
Okay. So we can promise that if you help Ian or other NHExit people, and if you're willing to help, we can either heap praise on you publicly, or if you like to remain anonymous, we'll never mention your name, whichever way you want.
Well, until you contract cancer, and then we lose you.
Yeah. He was 48.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thanks for your service in trying to keep trying to salvage his work. There's a lot of stuff I know you have to do behind the scenes too, and I'm just a lazy actor compared to you. And that's probably why they targeted you. Well, there was one other piece of news or thought. One thought I had was that. Just to reiterate, I probably already said this once or twice, but we really need to be thinking of little things we can do to help team up the anti-mandate people with the anti-federal rule people, because they're really very close to being on the same side. And it's great that there's this flyering going on. Maybe there are other things that can be done. Do you have any ideas?
Nothing specific that I know of.
You broke up a little bit. I'm sorry, I may have been the part of the house I was in. You said you want to unite the which sides together?
Well, teaming up the anti-mandate people with us NHExiters, we need to do everything we can think of to help that teaming up process happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, especially every time some new federal thing is announced, right? Now, I wonder how some of the biggest employers in New Hampshire are reacting. I wonder if we could contact them and find out, you know, talk to their press people. What's your guys' stance right now on mandating vaccines? You know, because some of these places are going along with it, but some of them aren't yet. Along with, the latest Biden saying he wants to do something, but they never enacted it.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's like the administration, they pulled a Britain 1915. It's like Churchill said, they pissed off the Turks just enough to make them declare war, but they didn't do anything to them that would actually interfere with their war effort against Britain. So they had all the disadvantages of one course of action and none of the advantages of the other course of action. That's what the Biden administration has done. It's got all the disadvantages of a vaccine mandate without a vaccine mandate.
Mm-hmm.
For them, they're just that butt stupid.
Yeah. Well, to me, it seems like they're doing stuff purposely to provoke us, or I have Biden derangement syndrome. Like people used to have Trump derangement syndrome, right?
No, I need a new leader. I can't function with this person being the leader.
I know. He says stuff and you're like, I can't believe I live in this place.
I don't really pay any attention. I did listen to one of his speeches the other day. I've never heard this guy speak, basically, so I might as well hear him say something. But it was like, wow, did he really just say that? It wasn't one of the ones where he was making all the mistakes. It was one of the ones where I was actually reading the script correctly.
Yeah.
Wow, there's nothing in here of the conciliatory nature. It's just demonization. It's just an hour of demonization. Yeah.
Yeah, they're talking about how we've put up with you this long. I'm going to use whatever levers of power I have. They're pushing all of our buttons.
Well, it seems to be working okay for us so far.
Yeah, that's what's, and then that gets back to the original thing of, okay, how are we going to react? Because to me, it feels like half of our efforts are going to be trying to keep this movement nonviolent.
Well, the main thing, I guess it's conceivable that anyone could do anything, but the thing I worry about is a false flag attack of some kind where the feds attack themselves and then try to blame it on, whoever they want.
Also, could we make New Hampshire the most nonviolent out of all of the secession movements so that that's even separating us? That would be kind of interesting.
Yeah, that would be helpful. That would be helpful. And again, like I said, I'm sorry, go ahead.
It also seems more obvious for us because in Texas, they have more power and stuff like that. And they have more military personnel and stuff like that. Like Miller points out, like one fifth of the military is from Texas. Well, that's not true in New Hampshire, right? How many people in the military are from New Hampshire? It's going to be a tiny percentage. So it makes more sense for us to be the nonviolent one.
Yeah. Well, that's our history. I mean, it's the most nonviolent state generally.
Yeah, we've been nonviolent since about the late 1700s.
I think that's the importance of maybe doing this role playing, and that's why I keep putting up this this self-aggrandizing picture of me in the diaper.
Hey,
set that tone. That we're supposed to be peaceable.
Well, the next time I'm in New Hampshire, what do we get? Willow switches? What do we want to do here?
Yeah, I guess I don't know. Some options will pop onto the table. Inspiration will come to mind.
Don't, if you keep doing this, I will have to keep beating Ridley. Don't make me keep doing this. The beatings will continue until the morale improves. The beatings on Ridley, because Ian and I both don't want to get beaten unnecessarily, right? But Ridley. Well, see, that's the way that's also how they perceive some of us pacifists. Like, we want this stuff. Well, no, we want to keep moving forward in the right direction. But if we meet resistance, we're willing to take some blows. It's important enough.
Yeah. So worth doing is easy.
Yeah.
The brutality of your enemies does you honor.
Yeah, so it's going to be, right? It's just a matter of time when that, or degrees of it, right?
Yeah, I don't think anyone would know who Vladimir Bukovsky was if he hadn't been tortured, right? No one would know who Tank Man was if there wasn't a tank in front of him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wouldn't know who he is. Well, I don't know the Eastern European guys if I didn't know Dave Ridley.
Yes, that I use.
So since we didn't add anybody new that had questions, do you guys want to wrap it up or do we have more news we want to put out?
I could not immediately find any other news on Shire Society that I hadn't already seen. I think I covered everything that you hadn't covered.
Yeah. I've been putting out these posts on nhexit.org of all the different stuff. Tom Woods did another, he did an episode 1989 that was him talking secession, why it's historical, and you know why it's historical and moral for any state to do that.
He we need to get that. Somebody on Tom Woods. We need to get Mike Sylvia or somebody.
Yeah, that would make a lot of sense.
I mean, I've been sending him news releases many times. I've never had any luck as a result of doing that.
Yeah, it will have to. Yeah, because he just put that out last week, and that was a talk he did at a Mises Caucus event.
At some point,
it was very good.
Some of these people are going to start figuring out you've got to have a tip to the spear, right? You can't move the whole country or move one state at a time, a different state every week. That's not how this works. There has to be, maybe it's going to be Texas and not us, but it has to be one state that everyone is focused on like a laser and pushing it all the way forward. Mm-hmm. And I don't think these guys are still talking like it's Murray Rothbard days, you know, and it's all just theory.
As a general concern with this whole movement, I mean, with the libertarian movement, I made the comment today on posted on social media with the Tom Woods 2000 hashtag saying basically, you know, libertarians love to get together at conventions and camping festivals and then, you know, then they go home. And wouldn't it be great if, you know, how would it feel if you actually got together and you could be with these people that you really enjoy all year long? Like, it's still the Free State Project, still like the best kept secret in the libertarian movement.
Yeah, and that's why I started doing NHXit, is that it's an actual physical thing. It's not liberty in our lifetime. It's not, you know, some right. And same with the voting with your feet, going to a place like New Hampshire is a thing. It's an actual thing. It's not theory. It's not a book. Did you guys read Bob Murphy's pamphlet pushing Texas secession?
I read the last third of it where it's just answering the objections. That part I read, I didn't read the first two thirds.
So the good thing also with him is he's pushing an actual thing, Texas secession, right? So some guys, I think Mr. Penguin there in Keene, said that they were contacting him, finding out if we could use some of that last part of his pamphlet for our purposes. And also, maybe we can have him on one of our shows, or maybe we can be on his show discussing the state of secession, Texas, and New Hampshire.
Yeah,
because he's obviously wanting to push that. And his speech at Porkfest last year was awesome.
Nice.
You know, I completely agree with him. I agree with him on almost everything because we're both Christian anarchist pacifists, and we're both thinking that secession's the next step because it's the thing you can do without killing people. You know.
You know, it would not be a bad idea to be thinking about the step after it too. I mean, like either after it fails or succeeds, but the world's going to keep spinning. So we need to be thinking about the next steps. Best I can do is to think about what we do while we're locked up, because some of us will be, presumably, just because the Catalans, you know, a lot of the Catalans were locked up. They just hunted down, didn't they, like the president of Catalonia and in some other country in Europe or something like that, and threw him away?
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
Because whatever happens in the next few months, it's going to keep going and going and going.
I do actually have some news I thought I'd forgotten about. The I guess one of the things I'm surprised this hasn't been brought up more, but apparently I'm sure someone must have brought it up somewhere, but apparently that $27 million that they rejected from the feds in Concord, where all the anti-mandate people were protesting and getting arrested. So that money would have, as I read it, committed New Hampshire to following future federal rules.
Yes. Yeah.
That's the big thing. So that's one of the things where you're just committing to it. Like it's an open-ended commitment. Like you're just handing your fate over to a federal bureaucrat. and the other thing I discovered was that, So I was reading the Concord Monitor article about it, and the Monitor over the years has been a fairly reliable paper in the past and fair to liberty activists to a large extent. And that has changed, and I wonder if it has anything to do with the fact that they've got a federal bureaucrat now sending them reporters. Although I'm not positive if bureaucrat is quite the right word for him. He is an advisor to AmeriCorps, a senior advisor to AmeriCorps, and a former FCC senior advisor. So he was engaged in censorship activities, presumably, in some form or fashion, advising that censorship organization known as the FCC. And this organization, it's called Report for America Corps, is not obviously government funded, but they're sending reporters to these failing newspapers, kind of keep them afloat, to give them not free labor, but it's like partially paid labor. So that it looks like the Report for AmeriCorps gives them some money, and then the local paper gives them some money, and then they go out. So you would wonder if they're going to be able to be independent, you know, when they're not independent. And it looks like this reporter went to the meeting and never, like, this meeting that was a sea of humanity and never talked to the humanity, right? She never talked to any of the demonstrators. She just talked about them being disruptive and being arrested. And then her headline is just, your headline is how some official is against this thing. Some official is angry because the money was turned down.
Yeah. Yeah, they weren't even at the same event.
And there was another reporter in the same paper that used the term far right. I'm gonna make sure I get this exact here. Used some kind of libelous term against the demonstrators. It was something like far right extremists or something like that. Mm-hmm. I don't have the exact term. I'm trying to find it because I wrote it down. This may have been. I'll talk among yourselves.
Well, I wonder if they call, do they call Marcus Ruiz Evans a far right extremist in California? Like,
no.
For wanting to secede?
I don't think they do in the media.
Someone else in there.
Russian agent. That's right. Sorry.
It may have been a later article or something. I'm not sure who, it was a different reporter. I think it said the quote. Yeah, I'm not positive this came
there
from
there was one in the Boston Globe where they were trying to align us with, like, Proud Boys. That might have been the one you're thinking of.
So I'm not positive this quote comes from the Monitor. I know there was something along those lines that I also saw in the Monitor, and this may have been in the Monitor too. It was, quote, New Hampshire Republicans as in bed with the far-right anti-vaccine extremists who've disrupted the most recent council meetings and who've also noisily protested outside the governor's private residence, unquote. That was from a local paper a day or two after the, or maybe a little longer after the demonstrations at the executive council meeting.
What's funny is it seems like some of the demonstrators at the meeting might have been, you know, very apolitical people that this issue's just been foisted on them. Right. And they're reacting. The other thing that's funny is the protesters didn't know how the vote was going to come out. How are they working together with those Republican guys? They were fearing the worst. Weren't you guys surprised by the results?
You mean that it was successful?
Yeah.
Maybe a little. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they were there to, you know, disrupt the thing. They weren't there to cheer the four Republican guys on or whatever.
I asked one of the executive counselors about his position on independence. I think maybe I asked two of them. One of them stopped and just stood there for about 10, 15 seconds and then gave me a nice, straight-handed answer. That was nice. That was about a year ago, so he's probably still in office. I can't remember which one it was. That was back in the days when it was easier to go to executive council meetings. All they did was send the military on me.
Hmm. Oh, I spoke with a politician too recently. Bonnie and I were in a parking lot at Staples here in Keene, just getting ready to go, and noticed that there was a guy behind our car taking a photograph. And he comes around, and, like, literally right behind the car, And he comes around to the window and he says, "Oh, hey, I've never seen a Montana license plate before. And so that's why I was taking your picture. I didn't want it to be weird." And then he started asking questions, and I realized that I recognized him, and he introduced himself as one of the mayoral candidates here in Keene. And he's like a new guy to town. He's been accused of stalking one of the city employees. So there was a bit of controversy around his campaign. But, you know, very sort of gregarious character. And essentially, he's walking around parking lots introducing himself to people. So, you know, very, very interesting. So, you know, after he blathered on for a while, as politicians tend to do, and asked a few questions about who we were, and I explained to him that we actually live in Keene. We're not, you know, from Montana. It's just the car is registered there. I, of course, asked him about independence. And you know, we had the New Hampshire independence flyers in the car, so I handed him one. His initial response was to support the union. But after a little bit, you know, as politicians tend to do, they want you to like them. So, of course, he kind of softened his tone a little bit about that. And I don't remember exactly what he had kind of said by the end of the conversation, but he sent Aria an email because Aria had run against him in the primary, and unfortunately she lost to him by like 2%. He got 6%, the incumbent got 90%, and Aria got 4%. So unfortunately she got knocked out. But he had said he was going to reach out to Aria and invite her to a candidates' night that he's putting together, even though she'd been knocked out of the race, because he thought it was unfair that none of the media did any coverage of the primary, which is kind of like seems to be their tactic around here to try to avoid covering Free Staters. Mm. They figure we're going to get knocked out of the primary, so they just don't send out any questionnaires or anything like that. And to his credit, he actually did send an email to Aria inviting her to this candidates' night. And at the bottom of the email, he never met Aria. We gave him her email address so he could do this, not expecting him to do anything about it, but he did. And the very last line, he says, "Also, Ian gave me a copy of the New Hampshire Independence brochure. I think it would likely work out in the best interest of New Hampshire residents. Need to think about it some more. Let's meet and talk." So, kind of an interesting thing. Yeah.
Very interesting.
People can change their minds about this.
Yeah, I would be surprised that guys would react like that at all. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, especially politicians. But, you know, politicians are going to run out in front of a parade, right? So if, and this is what I predicted would happen with all the Liberty reps that have been saying, "Oh, it's not time for that. And I don't want to put my political capital, on the line," and, you know, whatever the excuses they've been giving to people. They're going to change their tune when 50 or 100 or 200 people or whatever we can muster show up at that first hearing and they catch wind about that. I think, you know, especially if people start reaching out to them in large numbers, all of a sudden these guys that were reticent and hesitant, they're going to say, "Oh, you know, I've been wrong about this. Yeah, it is time." And they're going to run out in front of the parade.
Like, what do you think about, like, you've been pushing the idea of this is just a vote at the beginning, right? Yeah. That, well, couldn't we get some of these politicians wanting to get in front of the parade of let's just give people a choice?
Right.
Give
yeah,
people
that's not
a
very strong position.
You don't have to have figured out the specifics of what it looks like 5 years from now when we're independent. Right. We just want to get to the point where we have a vote. What if, you know, what if the vote loses? Okay, well, at least we got that far. And yeah, right. they could be in front of that parade. "Hey, I support New Hampshire residents' right to choose."
Right. Yeah, let the people decide.
Yeah, I know that the guys
position to do
the Texas National Movement guys have had trouble. They're trying to convince some of these politicians that don't you want to be running for president of Texas instead of governor? It'd be much more prestigious, right? And they haven't had any. They haven't had anybody. You'd think one of them would want to do it. There's a guy running for governor in Texas running on ending all property taxes. So at least he knows how to differentiate himself. You'd think one of these people would want to be the independence person. You know, say you have five people running for governor. Why wouldn't you want to be different than the other guys?
Ooh, well, that is a good point. We need to have a strong independence candidate for governor here in New Hampshire next year. I know Carla sounded like she was teasing it in one of our early meetings, suggesting she was going to run for president of New Hampshire. So I don't know if that's her plan or not, but that sure would be great if she did.
Yeah, because then that's a way to get out the message.
Right.
That person.
And Sununu is not going to run for governor. So we won't have an incumbent in 2022. So hopefully.
What's he wanting to do?
The rumors are he's going to run for Senate, I think, U.S. Senate.
And we could say, we'll stop driving in front of your house if you quit. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, so that means no incumbent, which means maybe an independence candidate could get a little bit of media coverage.
And this also shows you how all this stuff, even in Texas, they don't want to be governor of Texas. They want to be a senator of the United States. They want to be in the empire.
Yeah, it's a stepping stone for them.
I mean, I would think that you'd want to be governor of Texas and then just stay there for like 16 years. That would be right. But they don't. They want to move on to, you know, running for president or running this and that. Yeah, that's
more power, I guess. It is every captain's dream to pilot the Titanic.
Exactly. Yeah.
Another piece of news keeps coming. So Therese Grinnell is an NH Exit supporter, isn't she?
Yes, she is. She's in the chat room.
She is one of the ones who was arrested the other day. So I think, you know, whenever an Exeter is arrested, we make it about them arresting an Exeter, right?
You're right. Mm-hmm. That's a good idea.
You guys heard about the Mladenia incident in Slovenia in 1988?
No, tell me.
I posted about it, but it was worth mentioning on the podcast. This was Slovenia's Crypto 6 incident, right? And they had four reporters who had obtained some information about the JNA, the Yugoslav National Army, and they published it, and so the army came for them. And this was when they were still under communism, but it was pretty liberalized communism. Things were pretty good in 88 in Slovenia. So that triggered a conflict between Slovenia and Serbia, basically. It's officially between Yugoslav central government. And they put these people on trial. And let me tell you how benign the Yugoslav treatment of these people was compared to what you guys got. I don't think there's ever any SWAT raids or anything like that. They gave these people relatively light sentences, and they were allowed to, their jail sentences were carried out on the honor system. So they were required to show up for jail each night for 6 months or something like that, or, you know, a couple of years. And one of the guys, one of the Slovenian journalists had to break into his jail because he was late to continue serving his sentence.
That's more freedom than the average person in Melbourne, Australia has.
I know, it's more freedom than we have here. Those arrests nevertheless played this huge role in making Slovenia independent. So it's the same thing with you guys. You guys are walking on the track of history. Those of you who are arrested, basically, you know, for having a talk show they didn't like and selling too much Bitcoin, you're walking with history.
Yeah. Yeah, what will be the next thing?
Slovenia was independent 3 years later.
Yeah. Well, we're definitely getting more people talking about it, and then it'll be easier as you're doing each one of those talking to politicians and stuff. Yeah. Bringing it up. Okay, well, what's your opinion on this thing that we're talking about? And then go from there. Well, that's the only stuff that I had.
We've been
leaving this open-ended for people that want to talk, but then of course this time we didn't have any objectors, so we're leaving the door open for them. If they don't object, I guess we just keep moving forward.
Yeah, that's how it will play.
All right, well, it was good talking to you guys, and it's been like an hour, so let me wrap it up so the recording's not humongously long, and I will send you links both right away.
Thanks. Yeah, oh, hey, Dave, could you send me the Tuesday meeting or a link to it?
One of the other. Once I have uploaded it, I can just send you a link to the Odyssey video. Does that work?
Perfect. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, it'll probably be a few days at least.
Okay. No worries.
And for listeners, you can find these on ridleyreport.com and nhexit.org. You can find these discussions if you enjoyed this.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds good. I will wrap up the recording.
Enjoy your Sunday, gentlemen.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thanks for the hard work. Appreciate it.